Welcome each of you here again this evening, and I hope you're prepared. I hope I'm prepared for a very basic sermon. We heard one basic sermon this morning, that on faith, and mine is not going to be much different. I think it's probably going to be a little shorter than my brother's was this morning, but it's going to be very basic. For our opening scripture, I'd like to turn into the first chapter of Romans. And I'd like you to turn to the first chapter of Romans. Starting with the 14th verse, reading through the 16th. This is Paul speaking. He's speaking to the Romans. I am a debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. And when he says debtor there, I think he's meaning that he has an obligation to the Greeks, the barbarians, or whomever, the wise, the unwise, he has that obligation. So as much as is in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. And that obligation is to present the gospel of Jesus Christ, to each and every one that he comes in contact with. 16th verse. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. And I thought about that one statement that Paul says he's not ashamed. And I was wondering why would he would make such a statement? Why he would even think such a statement? And I've thought about that. And I know a little bit about Paul, but I don't know a whole lot. I believe he was a very intelligent man. I believe he understood his scriptures quite well. I believe he understood the law of Moses quite well. He understood at times how complex that particular law was and how involved each and every day, every aspect of their lives was complicated. And in some ways it was complicated because of that law of Moses and all the things that fit together. And I wonder if he's explaining here when he says he's not ashamed of the gospel, and I believe it's because he recognizes and he realizes that the gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple. You know, there is nothing complex about the gospel of Jesus Christ as opposed to what he has come out of. A very complex type of religion where everything has a meaning and another meaning and it's all tied together. But the gospel of Jesus Christ is not that way. It's not that way. And I wonder if that's not the reason why he makes that statement. That the power of salvation, God's salvation, is so simple. And yet he's not ashamed of it. In all those years that he had understood, it was a complicated matter. You do this with this and you do that with that. But it's not that way. And it's not that way to us. It's very simple. It is not complex. It should be easily understood to each and every one of us, especially each and every one of us here. But it also should be so simple that each and every one of us here could present that gospel to the barbarians, and to the Greeks, and to the wise, and to the unwise, just as Paul said he was ready to do. Can you present your gospel, Christ's gospel, to everyone you come in contact with? Or are you making excuses for it? Are you making excuses for yourself why you can't? Think about that a little bit as you turn to Galatians. The first chapter of Galatians. Still speaking about that gospel, and that's exactly what we're going to talk about this evening. Starting with the sixth verse. I've used this verse before. The sixth through the twelfth. First chapter of Galatians. I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you from the grace of God unto another gospel. Another gospel. Which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. And in my Bible, when it says pervert, it says change. And I don't know about you, but I believe that most likely that means add to. I believe that when we change, or most people, or most, I shouldn't say most people, if it's perverted, if it's changed, it's probably added to. I believe that. And it's made more complex than what the Lord would have it to be. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. Twice he's saying this. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be a servant of God. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ. And you know, I think everyone here knows how that came about, knows how Paul was moved upon, and how he was converted, and at the same time he was converted, he received the gospel of Jesus Christ, just that quick, just that simple. And I marvel, and I look back at some of the conversions that were done. I look back at the time of Christ, how many were converted at one sermon and one service. How that happened. 2, 3, 4, 5, 6,000 were converted in one service. And it didn't take weeks, and it didn't take months, and it didn't take years. So how did that come about? Well, I can tell you how it came about, because it's simple. And it could be, and it can be, and it should be presented in one simple service. One simple service. And when we attempt to discuss with others that may not be of the same religious mind as us, we can get off clear on another tangent and maybe discuss and, shall I say, argue for hours and hours and hours, and maybe days and days, and maybe weeks and weeks. And guess what's going to happen? Absolutely nothing. Absolutely nothing. This gospel of Jesus Christ is so simple. Yet in its simplicity, we should not be ashamed of it. More importantly, or just as important, we should not try to add anything to it. But what we know to be that gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to turn into the Book of Mormon, third book of Nephi. I'm going to steal some of my brother's scriptures in which he read this morning, the 12th chapter, starting with the 25th verse, reading through the end of the chapter. I have a tendency, once I start reading, to read a little fast, so I'll try not to do that this evening. Behold, I have given to you my gospel, and this is the gospel which I have given unto you, that I came into the world to do the will of the Father, because the Father sent me. And my Father sent me that I might be lifted up upon the cross, and after I have been lifted up upon the cross, I might draw all men unto me. That as I have been lifted up by men, even so should men be lifted up by the Father to stand before me, to be judged of their works, whether they be good or whether they be evil. And for this cause have I been lifted up. Therefore, according to the power of the Father, I will draw all men unto me, that they may be judged according to their works. And it shall come to pass that whoso repenteth and is baptized in my name, this is the gospel that I'm reading, is baptized in my name shall be filled. And if he endureth to the end, behold, him will I hold guiltless before my Father at that day when I shall stand to judge the world. And he that endureth not to the end, the same is he that is hewn down and cast into the fire, from whence they can no more return, because of the justice of the Father. And this is the word which he hath given unto the children of men. Okay, that's pretty basically the gospel, except maybe for the explanation of enduring to the end. We know that Christ was raised up on the cross, died for our sins. We know that we're to be to repent. We know that we're to be baptized. We know that we'll receive the Holy Ghost. And then he says, endure to the end. Okay? So there's a little addition there. But it's not in addition to the gospel. But it is in addition to us that have been baptized. And I look out in this audience, and for the most part, not entirely, but for the most part, everyone in here has been baptized, has received, has repented. Now comes the part of enduring to the end. And for this cause he fulfilleth the words which he hath given, and he lieth not, but fulfilleth all his words, and no unclean thing can enter into his kingdom. Therefore nothing entereth into his rest, save it be those who have washed their garments in my blood because of their faith, and repented, and repentance of their sins, and faithfulness unto the end. Repentance, baptism, but the faithfulness unto the end. What's this faithfulness? What's this enduring? Now this is the commandment. Repent all ye ends of the earth, and come unto me, and be baptized in my name, that ye may be sanctified by the reception of the Holy Ghost, that ye may stand spotless before me at the last day. Okay? We've done that. Okay? For the most part, we've done that. 34 and 35. If there is a catch, two verses in what I have read, these two are it. And this is what it is to endure to the end. Verily, I say unto you, this is my gospel. And ye know the things that ye must do in my church, those of us that have been baptized. For the works which ye have seen me do, that shall ye do also. For that which ye have seen me do, even that shall ye do. Therefore, if ye do these things, blessed are ye, for you shall be lifted up at the last day, enduring to the end. Do the things that Christ did in his church. Okay, what is that? Okay? I mean, exactly what is that? You've been baptized. You've repented. You've had hands laid upon your head for the reception of the Holy Ghost. Okay, and he says, do the things that you've seen me do in my church. What is that? Okay? I can't go die on a cross for your sins. I can't do that. That's already been done. That's been done by Jesus Christ. What did he do in this church that I can do? There you go. Okay. Very good. Very good. But there are other things also. And I tell you what I want to turn to. I thought about that, and I thought about that. And actually, I've wanted to do what Christ did. But what is that? And I want you to turn back to Christ's teachings in Matthew, in the 5th, in the 6th, and the 7th chapter of Matthew. Okay? And he's teaching you. He is teaching you what you can do in his church. He's teaching you exactly what he is and what he does in the 5th and the 6th and the 7th chapter of Matthew. And guess what that is? That's a sermon. And guess how long that is? Considerably shorter than what I'm going to do tonight. And guess what you can receive in those short little 3 chapters? Salvation. And those 3 little chapters, in those 3 little chapters, you can do exactly what Christ did in his church. I'm going to start, and I'm going to read, and I'm going to skip around. I'm not going to read the whole thing. But I'm going to start, and I'm going to read parts of 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11. And you know what those are. It says, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are they are the meek, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the merciful, blessed are the pure in heart, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are the persecuted. Blessed are ye when men shall revile and persecute you. Do you see something different in those scriptures? Or do you see something that you might stand out if you went to work, okay, whatever you do at work, and you presented yourself in these attitudes? Do you think, I know you would be noticed. I know that you would be noticed. In this world in which we live in, not only at work or at school or wherever you go, if you were to present yourself in these attitudes that I just read, I have no doubt that you would probably be looked down upon or thought very foolish. Am I right? Yes, I'm right. Yes, I'm right. Guess what? That's what you're called to do. Because this is not the attitude that we just carry when it's convenient. When we're among friends. In the scriptures it says Christ was despised of men. Christ was rejected of what? Of men. You know why? Because he carried these attitudes. Do the things that I do. These are the things. And it's not an easy thing. If you're in the corporate world, it would not be an easy thing, would it? No, it wouldn't. If you're a student amongst a whole lot of other students, it would not be an easy thing, would it? But guess what? You're baptized. You said, I'm a follower of Jesus Christ. I am a follower of Jesus Christ. And I will do the things that Jesus Christ did. You know, in verse 16 it says, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father, which is in heaven. The light is Jesus Christ. How do you do that? Read 3 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, and 11 again. That's the way you do it. Verse 21, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoso shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But whosoever shall say, thou fool, shall be in danger of hell fire. Therefore, if thou bring thy gift to the altar, and there remembereth that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer the gift. Do the things that Christ did in his church, and that is exactly what Christ did do, would do, and you should do. Read those verses again and ask yourself if you can. If you can. Or more especially and maybe more aptly, have I done them? And am I doing them? Do you have aught against anyone? Do you have aught against anyone? 34. Again, ye have heard that hath been said by them of old, thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, neither by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shall thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Do not think more highly of yourself than you ought. Because you can't do a thing without Jesus Christ. You can't do anything without him. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy cloak, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asks thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Am I describing what happened to Jesus Christ? And what did Jesus Christ do? I think he was nailed on the cross. I think he died. And guess who he died for? Those that despitefully used him. Those that cursed him, those that hated him. Do the things in my church, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and the unjust. Chapter 6. Starting with the fifth verse. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut the door, pray to the Father, which is in secret, and thy Father shall see thee in secret, and shall reward thee openly. But when ye pray, use not vain repetition, as the heathen do, for they think that they shall be heard of their much speaking. And then we know that he goes on and he delivers what is known as the Lord's Prayer. And guess what that prayer is? What do you notice about the Lord's Prayer? It's very short. It's very humble. How can I address this? How can I critique prayers? Because I don't know what's in anyone's heart. I can only know that possibly and probably when I come to a prayer service and I get from time to time, how can I put this delicately? I don't know how to put this delicately. I get upset, okay? I get upset. And I get upset sometimes for the length of the prayers. And I get upset sometimes for the length of the testimonies. And you know whose fault that is? My fault. Absolutely, June. It's my fault. You know why? Because I didn't stand up real quick and bear my testimony. And I didn't open my mouth. And I didn't offer my prayer the way the Lord told me to and showed me to. Yes, it's my fault. Yes, it is my fault. Have you ever been to a prayer service and been in the same situation that I find myself? And you know whose fault it is. Just point right at yourself. Because there's the answer. And the Lord, in this sermon, gave us the answer to those problems that were going to upset us from time to time. It's our fault. He told me to do the things. He told me to do the things. Matthew 14:15-16. For if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. And if you forgive not men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. Matthew 19:21. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, whether moth and... You know, this is easily read. You know, these next three verses are easily read and easily said, yeah, I'm going to do that. These are not easily done. These next three verses. And again, I look at myself. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do break through nor steal. And for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Am I guilty? Am I guilty somewhat? Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Are you guilty somewhat of laying up treasures here upon earth? Probably so. Probably so. Did Jesus Christ lay up any treasure upon earth? Not that I'm aware of. Not that I'm aware of. You look and be honest with yourself. And I don't like for us to set people on a pedestal. But you look at those simple, humble followers of Christ that you truly respect in your heart. Terry was discussing this last week with me at church. Look at those people. Look at those people. Do they have treasures on earth? No, they not. They do not. The ones that I truly, and like I say, I don't like to set people on a pedestal. They do not. They do not. It's quiet in here, isn't it? Chapter 7. It's hot in here. The first five verses of chapter 7. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, and considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye, and behold, a beam is in thine own eye? This is Christ, and he knows exactly the problems that we're going to have. And this is the problem. And do you think that it was not a problem for Jesus Christ, being completely innocent, to go around and point out every fault that he came upon? It was difficult. And he had every right to do that. He had every right to do that. But you know what he used? He used his heart. And he thought. And he only opened his mouth not to judge a person, but to judge an act. And you know when he did it? And why he did it? When he could help. And he did it because he had love for that person. When you judge and you point out a fault, are those your motivating factors? Think about that. And before I open my mouth the next time, or you open your mouth the next time to point out a fault, think about it and think about why. Think about why you're saying that. And I think 99 times out of 100, guess what's going to happen? You're not going to open your mouth. Too often, and most often, we do that, and we judge, and we open our mouth. Why? Because we've been, what? Offended, or hurt, or something. And we do it. We do it. Christ did not do that. He says, thou hypocrite, first cast out thy beam out of thine own eye, and then thou shalt see clearly to cast the mote out of thy brother's eye. Verse 7 through 11. Ask, and it shall be given to you. Seek, and ye shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For every one that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Or what man is there of you, whom if his son believe that? And once you believe, if you truly believe that, and you truly ask the Lord, expecting him to answer, what you receive is the best. Am I wrong? I know I'm not wrong, but do we always believe that? Or once we ask and we receive, or we don't believe that we received of the Lord, what do we do about it? Let's keep working at something until I receive what I think I should have received, right? How often have I done that? How often have you done that? Therefore, all things whatsoever ye would that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. And I don't believe there's a soul in here that doesn't have trouble with that. I honestly believe that. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many shall say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? Or haven't I come to church every Sunday for the last 42 years, morning and evening and Sunday, and attended every service that was called and attended reunions all over the United States and done my work and went here and went there? And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you, depart from me, ye that work iniquity. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man that built his house upon a rock. A wise man that followed after Jesus Christ. That's what I've just read. That's exactly in these three short chapters in Matthew. That's what Christ has called us in the church to do. And this is his gospel, nothing less. I thought this was going to be a shorter sermon than this. I want to turn to page 768 in the Book of Mormon. You probably don't have to turn to this. You probably know it. If a man be meek and lowly in heart and confesses by the power of the Holy Ghost that Jesus is the Christ, he must have charity. For if he had not charity, he is nothing. Wherefore he must needs have charity. And charity suffereth long, is kind, and envieth not, is not puffed up, seeketh not her own, is not easily provoked, thinketh no evil, and rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth, beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Therefore, my beloved brethren, if ye have not charity, ye are nothing. Charity is not, suffereth, doesn't suffereth long, envieth not puffed up. All these descriptions, what am I describing? I'm describing Jesus Christ. Am I not? Is not puffed up. Rejoiceth not in iniquity. Is this you? In every category. Is this you? Want to turn if I can find it. 2 Peter for closing scripture. First chapter. Starting with the second verse, reading through the 11th. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord, according as his divine power hath given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Guess what they are? Just what I read out of the 5th and 6th chapter of Matthew. Given us all that instruction. Given us all that to follow. Through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given to us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and the patience godliness. And the godliness, brotherly kindness, and the brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall never be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. You know Jesus Christ if you have these things. If you don't have these things in your life or are attempting to have these things in your life, I don't think you know the nature of Jesus Christ too well, or you're very indifferent to it. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. He's talking to the church. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fall. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's how simple this thing is that you and I have joined into, have decided to dedicate our lives to. That's it. And in this gospel and in this following, I hope and pray that we never add our own ideas to this gospel. And if we're unsure, and if we ever start to think of ourselves as being an authority, I hope we go back to the scriptures and we read just how simple it is. And I honestly think that when we present that our numbers will grow. You know why? Because we will be the humble followers of Jesus Christ that what? Others want to be around. I believe that, and I believe that with my whole heart. That if we dedicate ourselves to that and become that humble follower of Jesus Christ, yes, we will add on to our church. And yes, people will beat down that door to be here Sunday morning and Sunday evening and Wednesday evening and maybe Monday evening and Tuesday evening and Thursday evening and Friday evening. It's that precious and it's that good what you've received. And I want you to look at it that way. I thank you for your time.